All ready? This is your last warning. It was in the town of Jacksboro, and the year was 83. Had a man by the name of Crego come stepping up to me. He says, "How do you do, young feller? And how would you like to go and spend one summer pleasantly on the range of the buffalo? It's me being out of employment," to old Crego I did say. "Well, going out on the buffalo range will depend upon the pay, but if you will pay good wages and transportation too, then I reckon I will go with you and spend one summer through." It's now the outfit was complete, 7 able-bodied men. With Navy 6 and Needle Gun, our journey it began. The route it was a pleasant one, the way we had to go, until we crossed Pease River on the range of the buffalo. It's now we crossed Pease River, our troubles have begun. First old bull I went to skin, Christ, how I cut my thumb, while skinning the damned old stinkers. Our lives they had no show, and the Indians waited to pick us off from the hills of Mexico. They fed us on such sorry chuck, I wished myself most dead. And all we had to sleep on was a buffalo robe for a bed. Pease River's salty as hellfire, the water I never could go. Oh, boys, there's no worse hell on earth than the range of the buffalo. Our souls were cased with buffalo hocks, our hearts were cased with steel. And the sorrows of that summer, they really made us reel. While skinning those damned old stinkers, our lives they had no show. And the Indians waited to pick us off from the hills of Mexico. The season being over, old Crego, he did say, that the crowd had been extravagant, was in debt to him that day. We begged him and we pleaded, but still it was no go. So we left his damned old bones to bleach on the range of the buffalo. It's now the season's over and homeward we are bound. No more in this hell-fired country will we evermore be found. Go home to our wives and our sweethearts and tell others not to go. For God has forsaken the buffalo range and the damned old buffalo. Buffalo Skinners. Now, I missed Folk Festival last year, first time in 32 years. I was working in Japan. What can you say of a job where your boss is a mouse and his best friend is a crazy duck? But I did have the good fortune to work briefly with a fellow from England named Keith Kendrick, who's a very fine concertina player and traditional singer. And I learned this next song from him. It's a version of Patty and the Whale that I had never heard. Now Paddy O'Ryan left Ireland in glee. He had a strong notion for to sail on the sea. He shipped in a whale catcher for South Georgia was bound. And the way the ship pitched made his head go around. Caterwauling, tarpauling, harpooning and all. Now Paddy had never been boated before, and it made his heart sick when he heard the loud roar. As the lookout he cried that a whale he did spy, "I'll be dad," says poor Pat, "I'll be et by and by." Caterwauling, tarpauling, harpooning and all. So Paddy run forward, grabbed hold of the mast. He wrapped his arms around and he held to it fast. But the boat it did pitch, and on losing his grip, down in the whale's belly the silly fool slipped. Caterwauling, tarpauling, harpooning and all. He was down in the whale for 6 months and a day, till one day, bechance, to its throat he made way. The whale give a flutter, and then the girl blew, and a mile in the air went poor Paddy Maloney, caterwauling, tarpauling, harpooning, and all. Now Paddy is landed and safe on the shore, and he swears that he'll not go to sea any more. And the next time he comes on a nautical notion, 'twill be when the railway runs under the ocean, caterwauling, tarpauling, harpooning, and all. Thank you. Back in the late 50s and early 60s, people like me and Mike traded in our blue suede shoes for dungarees and work boots and flannel shirts and went out to sing the songs that made America. But it's a little difficult to relate to reefing sail on a 90-foot topsail yard in a nor'wester when the closest association you've ever had with a large body of water is the swimming pool at the YMCA. This song, which is called The Folk Singer's Blues, addresses that problem. I'd like to sing a song about the coal mine chipping away in Tunnel 22. And when the timber cracked, I'd support it with my back until my comrades all got safely through. But what do you do if you're young and white and Jewish? And you gotta be in class at 9:30. And in spite of all your crying and your pleading and your aging, your mother says it's too dirty down in a mine. That's what she says. Your mother says it's too dirty down in a mine. I'd like to sing a song about the chain gang swinging a 12-pound hammer all the day. How I'd like to kill my captain and how the black man sweats his life away. What do you do if you're young and white and Jewish? And you've never swung a hammer against a spike. And you've never cried a water boy early in the morning. And your only chain is the chain that's on your bike. Oh yeah, your only chain is the chain that's on your bike. I'd like to sing a song about the highway, feeling cold and wet and hungry all night long. Doing some hard rambling, hard gambling, hard smambling, hard mambling, but always finding time to write a song. But what do you do if you're young and white and Jewish? And you've never heard that old train whistle blow. And you've never spent the night in a cold and empty boxcar. And you take the subway everywhere you go. You take the subway everywhere you go. I'd like to sing about the Mississippi, working on the levee all the day. When them cotton bowls get rotten, you've got a lot of rotten cotton. And on Saturday nights you go and spoil your pay. But what do you do if you're young and white and Jewish? And you've never loaded cotton on the dock. And you've never worked all day and then drunk up all your pay. And the only levy you know is the levy that lives on the block. Oh, yes, the only levy you know is the levy that lives on the block. The only levy you know is the levy that lives on the block. Thank you. That was written by a Florida songwriter, believe it or not. A man named Shel Silverstein. He lived and died down in Key West. And he wrote for probably 35 or 40 years. Most people know him either for his books of children's poetry or for his cartoons in Playboy. But he wrote a ton of songs. He wrote A Boy Named Sue, a bunch of stuff for Bobby Bear. Very, very underrated songwriter. Yeah. And he wrote cover of the Rolling Stone. No, he didn't write that. No. That was written by Sheb Woolley. But it's funny you should mention that song. I just don't look good naked anymore. Well, you're prejudiced. I stepped out of the shower and I got a good look at myself. Hot-bellied, bow-legged, Lord, I thought it was somebody else. I got a look at my reflection from the mirror on the bathroom door. I just don't look good naked anymore. I'm gonna go upstairs and take the mirror off the bedroom wall. I put it up there while I was lean and tall. I'd stand and smile and strut and flex until my arms got sore, but I just don't look good naked anymore. I used to love the ladies, I love them short and tall. Now they won't stand next to me, they're afraid that I might fall. I went to see the doctor for my annual medical exam. I'm standing there in the all together, and the doctor, he says, "Oh, man." I said, "What is it, Doc? Something fatal? Come on, I gotta know the score." He says, "No, you just don't look good naked anymore." Me and Mama had a dancing style folks used to say was unique, 'cause only when we're back to back are we dancing cheek to cheek. I went down to the nude beach to have a little fun. I'm lying there in the buff just soaking up the sun. And some darn kid yells, "There's a big white whale that's washed up on the shore." I just don't look good naked anymore. March has fell, my waist has gone to hell, and my butt is dragging the floor. And I just don't look good naked anymore. I just don't look good naked anymore. And I wrote this next song. I've had a number of requests regarding it, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's an ecological song. It's probably the only ecological song I've ever written. It's called The Ballad of the Broccoli Man, with all that that implies. And, well, you don't know what's growing in those dumps out there. Oh, the fire burns bright in the circle. The candle is passing around. The songs and the poems are merry, but the wind makes a long doleful sound. Come gather around me, my children, come in as close as you can. I'll tell you a swamp man's legend, the story of Broccoli Man. Oh, beware, beware, for he's lurking out there while you are taking your ease. He's come to avenge the death of his friends, whom you murdered and smothered with cheese. Whom you murdered and smothered with cheese. Where an old lady planted her garden, there was nuclear waste in the sand. And the mutated veggies developed to a thing they call Broccoli Man. They found the old lady one morning, she died of a terrible fright. And the broccoli creature was missing, it had fled to the swamps in the night. Oh, beware, beware, for it's lurking out there while you are taking your ease. It's come to avenge the death of his friends, whom you murdered and smothered with cheese. Whom you murdered and smothered with cheese. Now you may like broccoli au gratin with hollandaise sauce on the side. To you it's just broccoli and breadcrumbs, but to him it is rank vegicide. So don't leave the circle of firelight if a hideous monster appears. And I hope that someone brought some cheese sauce. It's the only thing Broccoli Man fears. Oh, beware, beware, for he's lurking out there while you are taking your ease. He's come to avenge the death of his friends, whom you murdered and smothered with cheese. Whom you murdered and smothered with cheese.
Yeah. Pile higher and deeper. Yeah, well, this is a mixed crowd, so I won't use the usual comeback. Self-made man, huh? Use too much yeast. Well, now, friends, I must confess it, though you'd never really guess it, and I don't like that key. I don't like that key. Before I even get going, where's my capo? I swore I wasn't going to use this thing this time. Lo and behold, it appeared in my pocket. That sounds a little better. Well, friends, I must confess it. Though I know you'd never guess it, I just met the sweetest woman of my long and dismal life. But a friend of mine said, buddy, just in case your thinking's muddy, that woman that you're fooling with is Peg Leg Johnson's wife. And that man is big and rough and tall and grim, and he'll brain you with his artificial limb. But next morning bright and early, I stole old Peg Leg's girlie, and I also took his wooden leg just to play it safe. But it weren't no time for laughter, cause he started running after, and I keep on running faster, but he won't give up the chase. And I'm running across the mountains with his bride, and I've got his wooden leg here by my side. I'm a three-legged man with a two-legged woman, being chased across the country by one-legged fool. He's jumping and he's hopping, and he shows no signs of stopping. Oh, I tell you, boys, this life is mean and cruel. From the rivers and the valleys and the dark Chicago alleys, from the coast of California to the hills of Caroline, from the mountains of Montana to the swamps of Louisiana, every time I look behind me, he's about one jump behind. And I know he must be feeling tired and sick, but in spite of all his troubles, he can't kick. I'm a three-legged man with a two-legged woman, being chased across the country by a one-legged fool. He's jumping and he's hopping, and he shows no signs of stopping. Oh, I tell you, boys, this life is mean and cruel. Hello, Red. I'm feeling kind of guilty, cause I know he's wet and filthy, especially in the evenings when I hear him plead and beg. He says, in spite of all your stealing, friend, I bear you no hard feeling. You can keep the damned old woman, son, just give me back my leg. Cause I know you think the one you got was wooden, but in the dark you went and took my gooden. I'm a three-legged man with a two-legged woman, being chased across the country by a one-legged fool. He's jumping and he's hopping, and he shows no signs of stopping. Oh, I tell you, boys, this life is mean and cruel. Yes, I tell you, boys, this life is mean and cruel. That's another one of Shel Silverstein's songs. I started singing, so my mother tells me, before I could talk. And sing along to the radio. And one of my earliest memories is of my grandfather singing to me. He sang what we call the old songs, like Lord Randall and The Cruel Mother and the Two Sisters, and this next one, Barbara Allen. In Scarlet Town, where I was born, there was a fair maid dwelling. And she was young, and she was fair, and her name was Barbary Allen. 'Twas in the merry month of May, when the green things were a-budding, Sir William came from the West Country, and he courted Barbary Allen. 'Twas in the merry month of June, when the green things were a-bloomin', Sir William on his deathbed lay for the love of Barbary Allen. He sent his servant to the town, to the place where she was dwelling. My master's sick, and he sends for you, if your name be Barbary Allen. Well, slowly, slowly got she up, and slowly came she nigh him, and all she said when she got there was, young man, I think you're dying. Oh, yes, I'm sick, I'm very sick, and death is nigh me dwelling. No better, no better I never can be, if I can't have Barbary Allen. Do you recall in yon tavern, when we were all a-drinking, you drank a health to the ladies round, and you slighted Barbary Allen? Yes, I remember in yon tavern, when we were all a-drinking, I drank a health to the ladies round, but my heart to Barbary Allen. Well, slowly, slowly got she up, and slowly then she left him. He turned his pale face to the wall, and slowly his breath left him. He turned his pale face to the wall, and death was nigh him dwelling. Adieu, adieu, my kind friends all, be good to Barbary Allen. As she was going across the fields, she heard the birds a-singing. They sang so clear that they seemed to say, hard-hearted Barbary Allen. As she was drawing nigh the town, she heard the bells a-ringing, and they rang so clear they seemed to say, hard-hearted Barbary Allen. And as she drew quite nigh the town, she saw his corpse a-coming. Put down yon corpse of clay, that I might gaze upon him. Oh, mother, mother, go make my bed, make it both long and narrow, for William died for me in love, I'll die for him in sorrow. Father, father, go dig my grave, dig it both long and narrow. Sir William died for me today, I'll die for him tomorrow. They buried her there in the old churchyard, and William there beside her. From William's grave grew a red, red rose, from Barbara's grew a briar. They grew and they grew to the top of the wall, till they could grow no higher. Then they twined around in a lover's knot, the rose around the briar.
How we doing on time, Mike? Oh, I got lots of time. Whoo, boy. Understand this next song. I have nothing against the city of St. Paul. I needed a rhyme. Oh, there once was a doctor who lived in St. Paul.
who never would wait at a movie or ball. He'd crash the line, cheerfully call, "It's all right, I'm a doctor." Well, the doctor, he died, and to heaven he went, though somewhat surprised by his speedy ascent. That church league he'd sponsored was money well spent, thought the doctor. He got to the gates wondering what he should do. St. Peter said, "Son, we've been waiting for you. Just fill out these forms and we'll process you through." "Forms?" said the doctor. He looked at the forms and there sure was a bunch. St. Pete said, "I'm hungry and I've got a hunch that you feel the same way, so why don't we have lunch?" "Right," said the doctor. At the lunchroom he walked to the head of the queue, grabbed him a tray and he started on through, while he cheerfully called to the assembled crew, "It's all right, I'm a doctor." A lady in line said, "Let's make one thing clear. What you did on earth makes no difference up here. So take your white coat and yourself to the rear of the line, Mr. Doctor." Well, just at that moment, a fellow in white, with a beard neatly trimmed, walked up and went right to the head of the line, an action which quite upset the doctor. He ran to St. Peter, said, "How can this be? What makes this man so much special than me? He crashed the line and it's obvious he is a doctor." St. Pete said, "My boy, don't be making a stink. Step into my office, I'll buy you a drink." You see, that was God, only sometimes he thinks he's a doctor. The doctor. Yeah. All right, suggest one. I wrote the... Okay. That's a good one. This is a song Will McLean wrote called "Osceola's Last Words." And Will lived with me one summer, an experience that I would not take $1 million for and I wouldn't repeat again for $2 million. But among the other things that I got out of it, he taught me how to make cornbread properly. He really did. Will could make exquisitely good cornbread. He said that all a man needed to live, really, was collard greens, boiled peanuts, and cornbread. The peanuts have got proteins, collard greens for the minerals and vitamins. I said, "What's the cornbread for?" He says, "Because it tastes good." But I was learning the song driving in my truck from a tape, and I'd play it and I'd sing along with it. And I got where I could sing it all right, but I never tried to put an instrument to it. And I liked it so well a cappella that I went to Will and said, "Will, I want you to listen to this. It's something I've been fooling with this, and I'd like to get your opinion on it." And with some fear and trepidation, I sang Osceola for him, and he pursed his lips and nodded his head and looked at the table for a minute, and he says, "Johnny, that's the only way that song should ever be sung." So I had his express permission to sing the song a cappella. In a dungeon dark in St. Augustine, Chief Osceola wept for his people and his golden land. His body had not slept. Then Wildcat said, "Oh, Chief, I beg you, come with me to fight against our mortal foe." But Osceola raised his proud head high, said, "Do this ere I die." "Wildcat, brother, to the grassy water, take the Seminole, where no white man can invade to leave you lying dead and cold. I will not live among such evil men who mark the sign of truce, this flag of white, and honor not their spoken sacred word. My name shall be the light that shines in every warrior's heart. In dark and hidden reaches, they will never drive us from our land, or drain our blood like leeches. My spirit walks with those of you who died, and those of you who always will remain upon this sacred blood-stained flowered land. Must fight and fight again. My spirit walks with those of you who die, and those of you who always will remain upon this sacred blood-stained flowered land. Must fight and fight again. In a dungeon deep in St. Augustine, Chief Osceola wept.